would like to clarify and say, because I think this board has acted in a very responsible and honorable fashion,
right.
And I don't think they have anything to be ashamed of, really. And I think that it is very unfortunate that he's making this into such a contentious issue, because it really shouldn't be. It is a business. It has to be run that way for us to be able to get funding from people, mm-hmm. especially in the affordable housing arena. It's very tough right now, you know, to get grants and to get funding.
Absolutely. This is a real estate market is actually quite incredible these days.
It's really hard.
You know, looking at, I see 615 South Cherry Street. I remember working on that house, actually. That was back in the days with Alan Townsend. That was years ago.
Oh, yeah. Alan's a sweetie. I really love him.
He's
very nice. He's really been a great help to me since I've been here.
If you don't mind, just for record-keeping purposes, could you please state your name and title?
I'm Jeannie Tidy, the executive director of OHIC.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you an Oregon Home resident?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Where do you live?
I live in Petersburg.
Okay.
And everyone knew that when I was hired. And it's, you know, I know the neighborhood thinks that I'm behind a movement to move the organization to Petersburg, and that's just not true. That is a board decision. It is also a board decision where we go, and it's not about not expanding. The organization wants to expand into a lot of other neighborhoods, not just Petersburg, even if they decide to go there. They haven't decided where they're going. But we're also looking into Carver, Swansboro, Blackwell. There's a lot of neighborhoods that we have been working with LISC and the city on where we should go.
Okay.
And the recommendation to go to Petersburg was not mine. It was from LISC. So I want to state that for the record. I think it's very important.
All right. Could you tell me, what is LISC?
LISC is a local initiative support coalition which helps the community development corporations, both with funding and working in partnership to support staff. They do a lot of supportive things, development of staff and the organization, to bring the organizations up to legal standards and to help them, assist them to do more work. And we could not survive without their assistance, frankly.
When you say assistance, is this consulting, monetary assistance?
It's all of those things. It's consulting. They give us free people to help us with strategic planning. And this board had done a strategic plan before I came on board, which is also a matter of record.
Okay. Tell me about this upcoming change in OHIC.
Well, actually, the upcoming change is exactly as the organization was originally intended, which in 1976, as it was laid out in the articles which I just gave you, it was a non-member organization. That non-membership stayed until 1990, when a group of Oregon Hill residents felt that it wasn't being represented, and they basically took it over and changed all the rules and the original intent of the organization. Now, after it went through those changes in the 90s, there was a group of people, Kelly So and Mara Meinhart and others, who really wanted to get the affordable housing done in Oregon Hill. They felt like this was what the original intent of the organization was, to do housing and save buildings. So they really got it going and have done 34 units now. We have over 158 workshops that we've done. They hired good staff, and the organization before that went through 5 executive directors in 5 years. So that's not a very good record. So I feel that all of this is public record, and people do know. All they have to come in and look at our files. I've given you a copy of the original articles. So we're not really trying to change the organization to just take over OHIC and leave Oregon Hill. That is not the intent of this board. And what their intent is to honor their roots, but they want to continue the program and to expand it into other neighborhoods because it's been very successful, frankly. And because of the quality that Clark and our guys do on the buildings, we are envied by a lot of groups. And that is one of the reasons I feel it would be a shame for this neighborhood not to share us with other neighborhoods, because it does have a good success record now. And we do have valuable, capable staff in place to move the program forward and make it even more valuable in the future and be able to do even more buildings. And people do call us from other neighborhoods every day in Richmond asking us to take over a house that's going to be demolished and we can't move. So this is to be able to allow the board to work in a fiduciary, responsible manner, which they have done, but it is very difficult with the new regulations. And part of the new articles that we are amending are, this is the HUD regulation, which is reduction and isolation of income groups within communities and geographical areas, and promotion of an increase in the diversity and vitality of neighborhoods through the spatial deconcentration of housing opportunities for persons of lower income and revitalization of deteriorating or deteriorated neighborhoods. What they mean by this is they want to see mixed income in neighborhoods now. And so we have been doing some affordable housing, but we've also done some houses that are sold market rate. And the reason we have done that is because the HUD regulators now don't like it if you do all affordable in a neighborhood. They feel like it is lowering the quality of the housing stock and not really lifting people up. So by allowing affordable people to live next door to a market rate house, it's really enriching them and helping them with their lives to be able to achieve more than they could otherwise.
Oregon Hill has long been known as a blue collar neighborhood. Be polite, mm-hmm. but for the most part, it has been known as a blue collar neighborhood. Do you think that this would change the nature of Oregon Hill, and I'll expand it for the rest of the city as well? Do you think that mixed affordability in housing, do you think that would change the character of certain neighborhoods?
No, because the main focus of OHIC is to rehabilitate structures that are abandoned and to do infill housing. So although it helps raise up a neighborhood, I don't think it changes the basic intent of what we want to do. And by doing mixed income, we only do 2, 4, or 5 affordable houses a year, we'll do 2 mixed income. So it's not like we're going out there just doing all market rate housing. But all of the CDCs now are doing market rate housing because, as I said, it is that Congress has mandated it, and they have felt that just to put all low-income people in one neighborhood, it doesn't work, frankly. It doesn't work, and it doesn't help enrich them or anybody else.
Let's see. Where do you see Oregon Hill in the future?
I see it the way it is now. It's a wonderful neighborhood. You know, it's got a lot to offer people. It's right in the center of this area. It has ONA, which is a neighborhood association. OHIC helped create ONA and spun that off because they felt that they wanted to just concentrate on their original mission, which is the affordable housing, mixed income market rate housing. So I think it's important for people to know that. They're not trying to change the neighborhood or the fabric of the neighborhood. We like to keep the fabric of neighborhoods. That's very important to us. And the majority of clients we serve live in Oregon Hill already, are renters, and have moved into OHIC houses.
Tell me about the Richmond you see in the future.
I see a diverse, hopefully, make neighborhoods more diverse by having mixed-income neighborhoods. And I think that there are so many neighborhoods that are very much in need and have so many abandoned structures, but I do see those being able to take off with a force like OHIC who can work with them to help them shore up their neighborhoods. And by starting housing initiatives, it really makes a big difference in these areas that are impoverished. And part of that is because of the abandoned structures. So I think that is really the wave of the future. If we can get rid of a lot of the abandoned structures and make it a livable community for everybody who's there. And our main focus is not to move people out of an area, but to help maintain and retain people in the area. Just like our emergency home repair program, we're keeping that in place, and we continue to write grants for that. Although I haven't gotten one, we're still helping people. So I think it's very important for people to know that we want to maintain emergency home repair and to continue to help people in this neighborhood. It's very important to all of the board.
All right. I just had two more things. Well, first of all, will there be a new name for Oregon Hill Home Improvement Council?
Well, people have stated to us that they didn't feel that we should keep the name if we were going to move into other areas. And that was what we got feedback from the workshops that we had earlier this year to explain to people about the changes. Mm-hmm. And they said that they objected to us retaining the Oregon Hill name. So we thought we would shorten it to OHIC, but honor it by saying formerly known as Oregon Hill Home Improvement Council, Inc. So I think that is a nod to the neighborhood to say we honor you, we are not leaving, these are our roots, and we still recognize it as being very valuable.
Okay. Yesterday, when our reporter interviewed Ted Rochot, I believe I'm saying that correctly, he asked Ted, did OHIC have any interest in Petersburg? Now, you've just told me that OHIC has interest in a number of neighborhoods. Is that including Petersburg?
Well, I don't want to rule out any neighborhood, but LISC has, as I said, encouraged us to go to other areas, and that was one of the areas they recommended. So I'm not going to tell you we don't have an interest, but there has been no decision made in the board by the board of where we're going at this point. I think we have to get through this process, and then there has to be some strategic planning by the board of where they're going to go in the future. And I really don't understand why this has become such a contentious issue. And I don't think it's a necessary question. The board has been very, very responsible. This has been a great board to work with. They're very honorable people. And what I resent is Scott Berger and Charles Poole saying that they wanted us to delay our annual meeting, which we had planned on for this Sunday. And they said, well, you need to make it an informational meeting. And they have really acted in bad faith to me now, because they have shown that they only wanted to delay it to try to take over the organization. And that's basically what they're doing now. They're trying to take over the organization. And I think I'm sure that their intentions originally for the organization are well-meaning, but I think they're very misguided in what it takes to run an organization like this. And yes, we do own properties, but we have huge mortgages on everything. And if we were not able to get grant money and other monies incoming, we would not be able to afford it. And I must say that this board has been very responsible for this organization staying alive. And it 3 years ago to really almost 7-8 years ago, it was almost bankrupt. So for them to have taken it into the future as far as they have and made it a solvent, viable organization with good staff and people here who are dedicated to what we do. I mean, everybody here is dedicated to the people that we serve, and that includes a very, very honorable board. And I don't feel that their intentions have been honorable. And that's what bothers me, is I want people to know that they have gone around now and they're circulating petitions. And so all they did was delay our annual meeting to allow the people to have a voice and have a vote on changing the articles to be able to try to take over the organization. That's not acting in good faith.
Right. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I brought you also some CHOTO regulations, which are talks about what you have to be. An OHIC is a CHOTO. And how you have to
explain CHOTO. What is CHOTO?
CHOTO is a community housing development organization, which we are. It's certified by the government to be able to receive CDGB dollars. It is for low to moderate income people. To be able to receive those dollars, you have to build capacity. You have to have standards for financial and management procedures. You also have to maintain at least one-third of its governing board's membership for residents of low-income neighborhoods. So in other neighborhoods that we represent, we need to be able to have those people on our board as well. And as we expand, we would continue to have Oregon Hill residents on our board, but we would also want to include the people in the areas we go in, because I don't think it would be fair to people in another area to have Oregon Hill residents telling them how to run their neighborhood, just like Oregon Hill doesn't want other people telling them how to run their neighborhood. So I think that's an important fact, and I'll just give that to you. That's
right.
For you. I think that the amended articles are a way of making OHIC be able to continue to do what it's been doing. And it's just a way of making the organization legal. So that is what this board is trying to do, and I feel that they have acted in a very honorable way. And it's a great organization, and we can continue to do a whole lot of good for more people. It's not about contraction. It's about expanding the program and making it larger and being able to represent more people.
Okay.
All right.
Ms. Tidy, thank you.
You're welcome. I hope that helps clarify some things that people are worried about.
Yeah, we definitely wanted to get both sides of this issue because it is something a lot of people are talking about.
Yeah. So. I think it's important for them to know that it wasn't originally a membership organization, and it was taken over and changed by a small group of people in the early 90s, and then it almost went bankrupt. It was really in terrible financial dire need. And as a matter of fact, one of the former residents of Oregon Hill, who had lived here a long, long time and was on the board both during the early 90s all the way through till recently, about the year 2002, and she wrote a wonderful letter saying how she saw it through these other organizations and how people took it over, but they went through five executive directors, as I told you, in those early years. And they, Patterson, who is with Interfaith Housing, was an executive director for a very short, I mean, all of them were here very short terms. And that's all in our minutes. So anybody who wants to come see our records and read through the minutes, we have it all documented, and I think it's important for people to know the truth.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.